Okay, we go back to Washington State University and granted.
Hi everyone, my name is Abigail Attawar. I am a master's student in the Department of Horticulture with Dr. Carol Miles at Washington State University. And today I'm going to be talking to you about my research evaluating grafted eggplant for resistance to verticillium wilt. Now, before we start, I'd like to tell you a little bit about vegetable grafting. Vegetable grafting is a plant propagation technique that joins two plants through their stem vascular tissues. And this enables us to take advantage of their combined characteristics. A grafted plant is made up of two plants. One is the rootstock, which forms the root system of the grafted plant, and it usually has desirable resistances. The second is the scion, which forms the shoot system of the grafted plant and usually has the desirable fruit characteristics. And these two plants are joined together at the graft union. Eggplant is one of the vegetables that can be grafted, and the rootstocks that eggplant can be grafted onto are eggplant, but other relatives from the Solanaceae family, like tomato, turkey berry, Ethiopian nightshade, and so on. The primary reasons for grafting are to alleviate stresses mediated through the soil, like abiotic stresses like extreme temperatures and salt tolerance, and biotic stresses like soil-borne diseases like verticillium wilt and fusarium wilt. The disease that our research deals with is verticillium wilt. Verticillium wilt is a soil-borne fungal disease caused by the pathogen Verticillium Dahliae. And the pathogen colonizes the roots and the vascular system of the plant, which lead to the characteristic symptoms of wilting, chlorosis, and necrosis. And you can see the symptoms here on the, in the picture, the chlorosis, the necrosis, and the downward wilting of the plant. Management of this disease is difficult for a few reasons. Firstly, the pathogen is persistent in the soil for up to 14 years. It can rest in the form of microsclerotia or resilient resting structures, which make fallow periods ineffective in managing the disease. Secondly, the pathogen has a wide host range of almost 400 plant species, which makes crop rotation ineffective against the disease. Lastly, soil fumigation with methyl bromide has been used in the past and as an effective management strategy, but since methyl bromide has been banned, growers and researchers have been looking for an alternative to soil fumigation. This is where grafting comes in. Grafting onto a resistant rootstock can help manage the disease effectively. However, resistant rootstocks are not widely available in the market. So the hypothesis of my research is that identifying verticillium wilt resistant commercial rootstocks can assist farmers in selecting rootstocks for grafting eggplant to manage verticillium wilt. And the objective of my research is to evaluate eggplant and tomato rootstocks for verticillium wilt resistance and their effect on yield. And you can see in the image here, this is an eggplant rootstock displaying symptoms of verticillium wilt. Similarly, here is a picture of a tomato rootstock displaying symptoms. This experiment was carried out at WSU Northwestern Washington Research and Extension Center in Mount Vernon, marked in the red star right here. And the study was carried out in 2 years, 2016 and 2017. Our research was carried out in a certified organic field, which was naturally infested with Verticillium Dahliae. And a pre-experiment soil test showed us that the values were 28 colony-forming units per gram of soil in 2016, which is considered high risk for Solanaceae crops, and 5 colony forming units per gram of soil in 2017, which is considered low risk for Solanaceae crops. The treatments included in this study were night shadow, which is an eggplant and was used as the scion. Night shadow produces a large oval deep purple eggplant. We also used eggplant rootstocks, Java and neat. We used tomato rootstocks. You might remember from earlier that I said we can graft eggplant onto any Solanaceae crop, so which is why we picked tomato, and we used Estimino, Shield and Survivor. We also use Cherokee Purple, which is an heirloom tomato, and it isn't marketed as a rootstock. However, it has been found to be resistant to the disease, which is why we included it in this study. The controls for this experiment were all the treatments non-grafted, and the experimental design was a randomized complete block with 4 applications and 6 plants per plot. To briefly give you a description of how we carried this study out, the plants were splice grafted in the greenhouse and then were healed and transplanted into raised beds in the field. At the time of transplanting, the seedlings were inoculated with a conidial suspension. The conidial suspension in 2016 was contained 8 into 10 par 6 conidia per ml, and in 2017 contained 2.35 into 10 to the par 6 conidia per ml. The disease ratings were done throughout the season in 2017. However, it was only rated once in 2016 towards the end of the season. And at the end of the growing season, all fruit were harvested from all the plants. The results of my study are, first, we'll talk about disease severity. So disease severity was rated visually as the percent of canopy of the plants that displayed symptoms of verticillium wilt. And this data was collected at 105 days after transplanting in 2016 and 107 days after transplanting in 2017. In 2016, we saw that all the non-grafted rootstocks had the least amount of severity, and also night shadow grafted onto Estimino and Java had the least amount of severity. In 2017, we saw that night shadow grafted onto Survivor was the only one that had the least amount of severity. Next, we'll talk about area under the disease progress curve values, which tell us how much disease has accumulated over the growing season. Before I get into that, I wanted to point out that in this graph, you'll see that 2017 and 2 blocks, A and B. Prior to transplanting this experiment, there was an issue in the field that we were not aware of. So we divided the experiment into 2 blocks to analyze the data. In block A, the plants displayed normal growth, whereas in block B, the plants appeared stunted and did not exhibit normal growth. So in block A, we saw that non-grafted rootstock meat had the greatest area under the disease progress curve values, whereas in block B, this was non-grafted night shadow. So fruit yield was, as I said earlier, the fruit were collected from all the plants in both years. In 2016, night shadow grafted onto meat had the greatest yield. However, in 2017, we saw that there was no significant differences among the treatments. However, we did see that Cherokee Purple, which is the bar you'll see here, did have the greatest mean. We also recorded fresh biomass per plant in both years, and this was measured for 3 plants per plot. Fresh biomass in 2016 was greatest for night shadow grafted onto the rootstock Estimino, whereas in 2017, in both blocks A and B, night shadow grafted onto Cherokee Purple had the greatest biomass. Conclusions. we concluded that the soil inoculum density affected overall yield of the grafted plants, meaning that 2016's overall yield was lesser than 2017's. And if you recall, I said earlier that the soil inoculum density was higher risk in 2016 than in 2017. So we saw that grafting provided a benefit, statistically significant benefit in 2016, but it was not so in 2017. The rootstocks that had the greatest yield were Nightshadow grafted onto Meat and Nightshadow grafted onto Cherokee Purple in 2017. And we did see in Block A in 2017 that Cherokee Purple performed comparably to commercial rootstocks. So we think potentially other rootstocks or other tomato cultivars that have been bred for verticillium wilt resistance could be used as rootstocks, and you don't need specific rootstocks. We identified verticillium wilt resistant rootstock cultivars, Cherokee Purple, Estimino, and Survivor. We hope that this research can improve the ease with which growers can select resistant rootstocks and increase the adoption of grafting to manage the disease. And however, we also think that further study is required to determine if Cherokee Purple can perform consistently well. With that, I would like to thank my committee members, Dr. Carol Miles, Dr. Deborah Inglis, and Dr. B.W. Puvaya, the Department of Horticulture and the Department of Plant Pathology at Northwestern Washington Research and Extension Center, the seed companies that donated seed towards this research, and the funding sources, Northwest Agricultural Research Foundation, the USDA Specialty Crop Research Initiative, and Indo-American Hybrid Seeds. Thank you so much for coming to this presentation and listening. If we have time, I would love to take questions.
Maybe one question.
Abigail, since you already had the pressure of the disease pressure out there,
yes.
Was there a reason you inoculated it again?
That's a great question. So the question is that although we had disease pressure, we still inoculated, and what was the reason for that? Well, verticillium naturally occurs very scattered in the field, so we wanted to make sure that each plant did come in contact with the pathogen, which is why we decided to inoculate.
Very good. Let me see. 1 minute left. One more question.
Does anyone have a quick question?
Okay, one more.
I'll ask one more. So, since you have a designated plot which has verticillium, how do you make sure that cross-contamination does not occur?
Oh, that's a good question. We have one designated plot, and we have a lot of verticillium wilt research that goes on there. We try to not use the same tools that we use in the field. We make sure to sterilize everything with bleach, and that's about all we do. But yeah, bleach usually gets rid of everything.
Stop here. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.